Welcome to Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. Our guest is Larry Amick Smallwood, who grew up in Ajamoog, the Lake Lena district of Mille Lacs. He has worked as a language instructor for the Minneapolis Public Schools, Neosing School, the Leech Lake Tribal College, and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Since 1999, he has served as the Director of Language and Culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Joining our conversation today is Brian McGinnis of Inegekane Dasolyung, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at the University of Minnesota Duluth. We are also joined today by Brian McGinnis of Inegekane Dasolyung, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Well, today I think I want to ask you a little bit about Ojibwe family life and how that's changed over the years.
Oh, that is, there's really a big change in family life, family style living, since I grew up, years ago. Like I said earlier, we had our relatives living right by us, in the next house, or our families lived in houses next to each other, and that's not the case anymore. But a lot of us were raised in little houses. Sometimes they were called little lumberjack houses that had no running water or electricity or anything. And families would sometimes venture off a little ways and rent one of these things. Mm-hmm. My folks lived in their community where the families lived together there. And about a mile up the road, up a trail, I should say, there was a man there. He was a carpenter, and he had a pretty good-sized woodshed. And he asked my family, my folks, before I was born, he asked them to come up there and live and kind of be a groundskeeper there, so which he did. But it was a one-room house, probably, I would say, about a 16 by 24, a one-room house where we all lived. And we lived comfortably there, It was my folks that raised me and myself. And then prior to that, it was my sister and myself and the folks, and then they also raised my mother, all in that one room house. And it was good. I mean, we had our own privacy. You can find privacy in your house there, as far as doing the things you have to do. And then as we grew older, we left that home to go seek employment away from the area. In modern times here, we go to Minneapolis, which my mother did. And that's what she did. She left the home and then went and got married, and I came about. But I said in an earlier show that my father was incarcerated when I was very young. So when she came back home, the elders told her to go out and find somebody that would make her happy and start over again, which she did. And they said that they would raise me. And that was quite common a long time ago for couples to raise one of their nieces or nephews or grandkids or whatever. That was all good back then. And some of the times that they also had prearranged marriages. Mm-hmm. The elders and the family would kind of pick somebody that they thought would make this woman a good husband. And I witnessed that, though I'm not going to mention any names or anything like that. But I remember a woman back home there, she started going out with this man. And she had a couple of kids by him. But those old ones had told her, no, he's not the man for you. We have somebody picked out for you. And this gentleman got out of the military. He was in the service. And those elders told her, that is the one that you're going to be with. We want you to leave this man and be with that man. So the woman, being respectful of her elders, said, okay, I'll do that. And it wasn't a very happy relationship that she was in anyway. Right. And I don't know if the elders knew that or foresaw that or what. But when she got with this other man that they chose for her, They went on to have many kids and lived a good life. So it was kind of, it was prearranged. And that was as recent as the 40s here in our community.
So was there any kind of, if one of the parties just absolutely refused, was there any kind of way out of that? Or was it just, were people, like you said, you know, this woman wanted to be respectful of her elders and maybe she wasn't in a good situation to begin with. So, you know, she went with this and it worked out. But was there any kind of time where maybe if this didn't work out, there was a way out of it? Because I think when you talk about arranged marriages, a lot of people think about, they don't think about Ojibwe's, they think about other places like in the, you know, like in the Muslim world and places like that where, you know, these things are very paternalistic, you know. But
right.
My understanding is Ojibwe's, it wasn't as forced as, I mean, there was arranged marriages, but it wasn't necessarily as patriarchal as, you know, we might think of when we hear about it today.
Right. I don't know of anybody personally that absolutely refused, but I'm sure it had happened.
Mm-hmm.
But see, back then, you know, our people were, they're respected when the elders said something in the family, that was a law. And especially the oldest one in the family, there, if we have an older grandfather, older grandmother or something, man, when she says something, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to her. You can go outside the house and you can squabble or you can, you know, not like it as much as you want, but when you get back in that house, you better behave and then kind of listen to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the majority of us were raised, I said this earlier, I think, about by our grandparents, and which was really cool because it had they had reasons for that. You know, maybe this couple couldn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the sisters or brothers of that couple there could have as many as two or three. A lot of times they would take one of those two or three and say, here, go live with them, and then they would take them over there, and then that family would be whole.
Mm-hmm.
They would have mother and father and child, mm-hmm. you know, and it went on and on and on. So, and that was quite acceptable back then because it gave the families a sense of wholeness,
right,
so to speak. And then in turn, those young ones would watch the older ones as they got older,
mm-hmm.
and just went on to a big circle. See, a lot of us guys that are old, and a lot of us women that are old, that was why we were raised by our grandparents,
mm-hmm.
or great aunts and uncles, and they taught us many things. But now you can't do that because aunt and uncle or grandma and grandpa would have to go through a background check, and
mm-hmm.
the parents that are giving their child to live with them, those parents would have to go to a background check and say, oh, you cannot keep this child. What is wrong with you? You know how it is. So, but it was quite acceptable back then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How would those older people discipline kids? Is it different today?
I can speak for myself. I was lectured.
Mm-hmm.
I was made to sit down and I was lectured. And they always told me, we're not arguing with you. We're not being mean to you. We're lecturing you so you'll know better.
Mm-hmm.
And say, mm-hmm.
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 Gangan was eget nagi puktewasin. Shangi kugwis egeek. That old lady that raised me disciplined me, and she would threaten me, mm-hmm. although she never physically bothered me. If I was naughty, really naughty, she would get the broom and chase me. So I knew under the bed there were boxes and boxes of things, because that's how Anishinaabes do. They put stuff in boxes under the beds. You guys can relate, I'm sure. Well, I would crawl under that bed behind them boxes, and she would be shoving that broom handle in there really hard, and once in a while she would hit a box or something, and I'd scream. Then she'd ease up, you know, and then she'd quit, you know. But I don't think she would ever really hit me, but, you know, scaring me. So.
Is it fair to say, like, I mean, you know, everybody's a little different with this stuff, but that those older people would, that it wasn't so much like today where we say, don't do that, don't do that. They would wait till the kid, like, did something and then say, see, that's what happens when you do something like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas today we're kind of more, like, proactive and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they would say, Ndanagiwi in the moon. I told you. Miku guy should have been the moon, but Ndanagiwi in the moon. Portugudas we said Chigan you. Shkedas Nunga Major Webak. Shke Nunga Major Webisyan. So they had all those lectures. Ingi Kanama Ingi Kanama Agu Swingo and a good nunga ego is a chigge so on Would you be a shine guy and gay on me goes a quick and all moon on gay goes a chigge anybody, gay goes a can anybody, huh? Pooch Tashigun, Gujigisha, Yogis, Chiam, Poochu, and Naske, and Danagi in the moon. I go guy kidded. Gishajibit Tumgain in Gishkeyawayan. I didn't listen either very good when I was young.
This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanada, a program of Ojibwe culture. Our guest today is Larry Amick Smallwood, a language instructor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He is also the director of language and culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe and is the contributing voice to the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, an online resource created by the University of Minnesota. We are also joined today by Brian McGinnis of Nagakane Dasoyung, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at the University of Minnesota Duluth. So we talked a little bit about marriage. What would happen, like, back when, you know, if a couple didn't get along? Like, how did divorce work?
There was a way if people got married by the pipe. Mm-hmm. There are a couple ways you can do this, and I experienced this myself personally. I got married by the pipe, and my uncle, the one that married me, said, you go back to the pipe and ask for forgiveness. And I did that with my uncle. So I am not recognized as being married anymore because I went back to the pipe. You know, in our big drum society, there is a song that is sung on that drum for a couple that is going to split, and they'll both get up and dance to that song.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's lost right now, and it was used before,
right?
Mm-hmm. And but I took the easy way out, and because nobody knows the song, so I went back to my uncle with the pipe, and made a mistake.
Yeah.
Now whether she recognized it or not it's not my concern anymore. It's between me and the pipe and my uncle. But there was a song, or there is a song, that they use when a couple splits up. That's one way to do it.
Mick, can you tell us something about just that act of marriage? We talked about getting married by the pipe, and of course we know Wedigewin as being that time of coming together in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk about traditional wedding ceremonies that maybe you've seen growing up and over your life?
Ganago apje nebo ang ipiwam na zina neo kaya gisa chigeo ang ipiwam na na nwin ko ane gud nung pebe kan mga gisa chigeo ang gu ano ni jig da abjar du pagan ewa ma wea wii digin it anin da kinu jo gabo wag order sa nini gaso gaso mi na no o de kweman no o de na wea magan na pagan jigan. Not giving out quick, I should mean not new, not beaming, to the way Morgan and a bug of jiggin. Miss McGinney, Jugabo, I'd be the smaggy, coggy, get her to get sick of swan out, no do fogging on him. Give it to go shame to out and go, make one on the bow, I'd make care, I should have the man gaining. Nagayan and oh Nishugabo Adma Oh yes I guess Fadna to Pwagan and Gagi Gita Gagi Zitagus and Mishesha and the Buadma Mishesha we do Panduad and you got we the Gajik oh Ninim now Kwe Mishmayashi we do Panduad Emma me the Sma Punin and the Wa we do Panduad me get Kagajuab and the man on a good no Kagain in your Gurj Maguru there's a Chigayan Minas ago, Gaini na abjago ndu pagan ni jugabo agama. Gaini na wad wito kushin duad na gaini duwito panduad. Mi kaya ni nishi kenda man. I've seen a few different ways that people have married couples by the pipe. I know some of them will stand there and wrap the man and the husband and wife or the bride and groom with a blanket and talk with the pipe, and then the groom will give his in-laws a bundle of gifts, and then also I've seen the bride give the groom's parents a bundle of gifts. Then they share together a meal. I mean, they eat with each other right there before anybody else does. And then I've also seen couples stand together with a blanket around them, a nice Pendleton or whatever, and the man doing the funeral will stand and smoke his pipe and do what he's got to do and pray for this couple to have a long-lasting life together. I myself do that just pretty much the same way. So, in fact, I have to do a wedding ceremony here in a couple of weeks. So, I mean, people do it differently, you know, a little bit different, however they were shown or however they dreamt to do it, or whatever.
I just had another question too, if I may, on no, that. With Wedigew and the marriage by the pipe, sacred, obviously very binding kind of ceremony that requires for divorce, obviously, again, another kind of ceremony. I was just wondering, Amik, I know over the years many of us have seen different kinds of traditional weddings, and it always does seem to be that the man will get talked to and the woman will get talked to about, and prayers and good thoughts and words offered for them. What are the things to Ojibwe people that are important to say to a new couple, a new man or his wife? What would be the things they would be encouraged to think about as they plan their life together, about commitment, about faith, about preparing for their home and their children?
The Vijay and Dwab Nagio Quig Avin, my Gagunu Nako and Gunagavin, my Wind the Moon, the Gunuin, the Madu, and Nab, Babinski, Mio Nine, Ogojing, Wasabi, Baja, Gigo, Baranda, Nukit, Baranda, Winjigit, the Gogego, Wavin in the Shma, the Babi Adnu, Una Babin, the Shama, the Giz, the Moad Gago, no other than night, the Moad Nu, Baza Kungan, Nuju Kayo, Gigi, Kimalko.
Things are changing everywhere, and our ideas about marriage is a kind of a big society. But in our communities, you know, we've had, historically the last 100 years, Christian officials saying, you know, this is the reason you get married, and this, that, and the other thing. And again, that's changed in our larger society as well, that kind of outside thoughts and pressures, whatever you want to call it. But today, why should we get married? You know, I mean, what? You know, I'm saying that, but it's like, you know, if you know, like, of somebody who's a, you know, younger Anishinaabe person, you know, and what would be the reasoning for getting married, I guess, is the, because, you know, again, you know, Christians, they told us why we were supposed to get married, which, you know, so.
Me get about you, eh? We did get out, and this kid gone away, I was pecan in the new one, and I bought me in the magazine, okay? No, gave me no, nene, why did it gone away? Da bami and Megusin, but kind of quay when ma, good to buy yard. Me gone just a chicky yard, not gay, we winny. Dayawa, no need, John, and so on. Then the bummy awad. To get kin dog, so what my weed to get out, we jay on to what. Wejayawanduwag, Mekuninawan Gajikin Damong, Gajikidong, Wejayawanduwag. I'm going to go up to Wejayawan, Wejayawanduwag. They stay together.
Mm-hmm.
They live together. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily they are married together.
Right.
Or to each other. In other societies, you know, that's people got married. People witness that, they see that, so that no other men will come and try to bother that woman.
Mm-hmm.
And no other women will come and try to bother that man. That's pretty much it, because, you know, they all want to respect that. And then this couple is going to have a child or two or three.
Right.
And they're going to be known as a couple. Wejayawanduwag. See, now, today it's not like that. Regardless if you're married or not, the man's going to go chase somebody, the woman's going to chase somebody. I'm just kidding. But that's pretty much how it went.
So
the respect. See, now here it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a wife back in the day, all right, and I was a single man, and I always admired something that you wore or that you had that was made by your wife. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see you and your wife coming. I can't just go and ask your wife, say, hey, you know, I like that. You think you can make me one of those? I would have to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Do you suppose your wife could make me one of those? I will hire her to make me this.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, I'll ask her later, or I'll ask her sometime, or you can ask her right in front of me. Do you want to make this for him? You know, this and that. And she will tell him what to tell me. Okay. You know, back in the day, they never said hi to each other, women and men. You know, they might have looked at each other, but they never said hi to each other, you know. But they would look at each other, and then pretty soon, you know, people would start noticing that, you know. And maybe that's where that arranged marriage came in, you know. Hey, you know, he knows you do this, and he's good at this, and then, you know.
Yep.
I think you guys should stay together as well. You know, I'm not an expert on all this stuff, but this is a lot of, I hear a lot of stories, and I've heard a lot of stories in my years of how things were and why they did those things.
Mm-hmm. Were there other relationships like that in families that were unique? Like, I think I've heard something about, like, the way you'd relate between, like, brothers and sisters-in-laws and things like that. Have you heard anything like that? Or, like, way back when? Where there was certain, or even, like, your mother-in-law, like, there's a certain way that, you know, we don't really do anymore in our communities, but that was kind of a unique relationship, or how would you, I guess not so much relationship, but how would you behave around those people?
Well, you always behave around your in-laws.
Well.
I don't know it. they gave the respect to the mother-in-law, too, just like they would their own parent. They would respect her. They would do things for her if they could.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that was between the husband and wife.
Right.
You know, maybe the husband wanted to do something for his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, and he would consult with his wife first. Or she, the same thing with her father-in-law. She would consult with him, her husband, first. Because that's what it's about. You know, your togetherness, you're consulting with each other and all that, you know.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our guest, Larry Amick Smallwood, for sharing his stories with us. This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. To listen again to past episodes of Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada, visit the KUMD website at kumd.org and click on Audio Archives. Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada is produced by KUMD and the Department of American Indian Studies at UMD, with funding provided in part by a strategic initiative grant from the Chancellor's Office of UMD, by Enegyekendaso Young, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at UMD, and by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.